Saviors of Islam, Saviors of Islam, Saviors of Islam.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Salatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah, wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Habibullah. Salatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyullah, wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Nurullah. Viewers of Madri Channel, welcome to the special Muharram transmission. The name of the program, Saviors of Islam. The topic that we're going to discuss today, I'm not going to tell you just yet. First of all, we're going to have Talawat of the Quran, insha'Allah, Azza wa Jalla, then a Kalam. And then we'll introduce the topic. So please stay tuned.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa lanabluwannakum bishay'in الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون صدق الله العظيم.
سبحان الله جزاك الله. I'd like to thank Ustad Saab. I requested him to do the talawat, mashallah. May Allah Azzajal reward him and protect him. And may Allah Azzajal give us all the ability and the tawfiq to read the Quran and listen to the Quran on a daily basis. You're watching the special Muharram transmission, the Saviors of Islam. And today's topic, inshallah, we will introduce in a few moments' time. But first, inshallah, we'll have a kalam and then we'll introduce the topic, inshallah.
بلغ العلا بكماله كشفت جا بجماله حسنت جميع حصاله صلوا عليه وآله صلوا عليه وآله صلوا عليه وآله وہ کمال حسن حضور ہے کہ گمان نقص جہاں نہیں وہ کمال حسن حضور ہے کہ گمان نقص جہاں نہیں یہی پھول خار سے دور ہے یہی پھول خار سے دور ہے یہی پھول خار سے دور ہے یہی شمع ہے کہ دعا نہیں صلو علیہ وآلہ صلو علیہ وآلہ صلو علیہ وآلہ میں نثار تیرے کلام پہ ملیو تو کس کو زبان نہیں، میں نثار تیرے کلام پر آقا، میں نثار تیرے کلام پر، ملیو تو کس کو زبان نہیں، وہ سخل ہے جس میں سخل نہ ہو، وہ سخل ہے جس میں سخن نہ ہو، وہ سخل ہے جس میں سخل نہ ہو، وہ بیان ہے جس کا بیان نہیں، صلو علیہ وآلہ، صلو علیہ وآلہ، صلو علیہ وآلہ، بخدا خدا کا یہی ہے در، نہیں اور کوئی مفر مقر، بخدا خدا کا یہی ہے در، نہیں اور کوئی مفر مقر، جو وہاں سے ہو یہی آ کے ہو، جو وہاں سے ہو یہی آ کے ہو، جو وہاں سے ہو یہی آ کے ہو، جو یہاں نہیں تو وہاں نہیں، صلو علیہ وآلہ، صلو علیہ وآلہ، صلو علیہ وآلہ، تیرے آگے یوں ہے دبے لچے، فصحا عرب کے بڑے بڑے، تیرے آگے یوں ہے دبے لچے، فصحا عرب کے بڑے بڑے، کوئی جان منہ میں زبان نہیں، کوئی جان منہ میں زبان نہیں، کوئی جان منہ میں زبان نہیں، نہیں بلکہ جسم میں جا نہیں، صلو علیہ وآلہ، صلو علیہ وآلہ، صلو علیہ وآلہ، کروں تیرے نام پہ جا فدا، نہ بس ایک جان دو جہاں فدا، کروں تیرے نام پہ جا فدا، نہ بس ایک جان دو جہاں فدا، دو جہاں سے بھی نہیں جی برا، دو جہاں سے بھی نہیں جی برا، دو جہاں سے بھی نہیں جی برا، کروں کیا کروڑوں جہاں نہیں، صلو علیہ وآلہ، صلو علیہ وآلہ، صلو علیہ وآلہ، کروں مدح اہل دول رضا، پڑ اس بلا میں میری بلا، کروں مدح اہل دول رضا، پڑ اس بلا میں میری بلا، میں گدا ہوں اپنے کریم کا، میں گدا ہوں اپنے کریم کا، میں گدا ہوں اپنے کریم کا، میرا دین پارا اینا نہیں، صلو علیہ وآلہ، صلو علیہ وآلہ، صلو علیہ وآلہ، صلو علیہ وآلہ، صلو علیہ وآلہ،
سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ، ماشاء اللہ ماشاء اللہ. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching the special Muharram transmission, The Saviors of Islam. The topic that we have chosen today is again one of those topics that really cannot be covered in one episode. The topic that we've discovered, that we're going to discuss today in itself, should be discussed as a whole series of episodes. The topic of today is Ahl-e Bayt. Now, I'm not going to tell you what Ahl-e Bayt means. I'm not going to tell you what Ahl-e Bayt is. MashaAllah, we have the scholars with us today, because sometimes we feel that many of the people that are watching think, yeah, I know what that means, I know what it is, I know what it is, yes, yes. But there's a lot of people out there that unfortunately don't. And so we need to make sure that we cater for all and cover for all. So I'm going to hand over to MashaAllah Ustad Sab, who's going to effectively introduce this topic and tell us a little bit what Ahlul Bayt means, what Ahlul Bayt is, and what's it all about basically.
So when we use the term Ahlul Bayt, it literally means people of the house, people of the house, family. In one word, it literally means family. And but when we refer to the Ahlul Bayt of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, it's got a very broad usage. It's not just the people who lived with the Holy Prophet ﷺ, but the scholars have clarified that the wives of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, they come under Ahlul Bayt. The children of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, his daughters, his sons, come under the Ahlul Bayt, and not just them, but the grandsons. The grandsons, the grandchildren of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, and her children, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, and up until the day of Qiyamah.
Allahu Akbar.
So it's not just the time of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, but up until the day of Qiyamah. If you take it in its broader sense, up until Qiyamah, every single Sayyid, everyone who is from the bloodline of Sayyidina Imam Hussein and Imam Hassan, because that bloodline is eventually, ultimately, it leads to the Holy Prophet of Islam. They are the children, even though centuries have passed, they are the children of the Holy Prophet of Islam. So Ahlul Bayt, linguistically, people of the house, family, and in its actual essence, every Sayyid up until the day of Qiyamah.
SubhanAllah. So for the purpose of today's program, if we were to discuss the Ahlul Bayt, we cannot obviously discuss all of the Sayyids from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam up until the Day of Judgment.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that we obviously need to discuss with, in light of what we are discussing in the special Muharram transmission, are those people that from the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam up until the grandsons, they are, I feel, correct me if I'm wrong, Ustaz, they are the people that I think most people will relate to as being the Ahlul Bayt.
Definitely, when Ahlul Bayt is mentioned, like usually the first people that come to the mind are, there's a term called, the Panjitan Park, Panj is five, the five glorious ones, and by those we refer to the Holy Prophet Ali Salatu Salam and Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidatuna Fatima, and the children Hazrat Imam Hassan and Hussein. So those five, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So that is the first, point of reference, that when we hear Ahlul Bayt, we do sort of think of them.
Isn't that actually waqi'ah where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared these five people?
Yes, there is. Yeah, I've actually got two ahadiths.
Okay.
Once the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidatuna Fatima, and Hassanayn Kariman, and they were all holding hands. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered his blessed house in this state, so he was walking with all four of them, and they were holding hands, and he called Sayyidina Ali and Fatima close to himself and sat them in front of him, and sat Hassan in front on each lap, Hassan and Hussein on each lap with Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Fatima in front of him, and then he covered them in his mantle, in his blessed chadr, and he recited this blessed verse number 33 of Surah Ahzab, which he said, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ مُدِجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Indeed, Allah wants to remove all impurities from you, O Ahlul Bayt. So the word Ahlul Bayt is there in the ayat, and Allah wants to purify you and cleanse you to the most ultimate, to the most complete degree. So the Holy Prophet ﷺ recited this verse, which mentions the purification and the cleansing of the Ahlul Bayt with these four specific individuals in front of Iman, Hassan, Hussein, and Ichan, Lahman, Sayyidina Ali, Fatima radiallahu anhum. And he recited this verse. So that hadith, yes, just as you said, and he covered them in his mantle. So, if the first five people that come in your mind when you say Ahlul Bayt are those five, that's perfectly fine.
What about, you mentioned the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
Yeah, that ulama have said that as well. That anyone, because Ahlul Bayt, take it literally, the people of the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So obviously, the blessed wives who were living with him. When you talk about the people of your house, when you talk about your wives.
Regarding that ayah, the tafsir, it mentions that in this ayah, the Ahlul Bayt is referring to the blessed wives, i.e. the mothers of the believers. Firstly, due to the kalam, because the kalam before that ayah, innama yuridullah, it's all before the kalam before, and the kalam after is actually referring to the blessed, Azwaj Mutahhara, the mother of the believers. And it goes on that, and the remaining great personalities, i.e. Khatun-e-Jannat, Hazrat Fatima, Zahra radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza, and Hasnain al-Karimain radiallahu ta'ala anhun, are also included within this Ahl al-Bayt, and it's also proven through proofs.
To love and to respect them is part of Iman. Yeah. You know, how should we show our love? How should we show our respect? If I was to say that I love them, I respect them, you know, is that enough? Or is there any criterion that we as Muslims should try and adopt so that we can fulfill the claim that we love the Ahl al-Bayt? I know it's putting you on the spot again, but I love doing that.
The reference, Imam Tabari, rahmatullahi, he said that, and he's one of the most earliest, you know, Mufassirin, Tafsir, Quran commentators, that to love the family of the Holy Prophet alayhi salam and their children is farz, absolutely compulsory inside the deen. So muhabbat, it's a word we use a lot, you know, we love people, but muhabbat hakikat, you know, it's really when you obey obedience, following the path, you know, following the sunnah, following the traditions of the Ahl al-Bayt and the character and the habits, you know, giving preference to their desires and their over one's own nafs, one's own wishes and desires. When you love someone, you sacrifice your own desires and your own convenience for their convenience. You sacrifice your own passions for whatever pleases them, and you will actually put yourself into difficulty, you know, to even to please them. So yeah, following that real muhabbat, really, if there's no obedience in it, if it's not about following the character of the people that you claim to love, or you don't give preference to their desires over your desires, then it's just a mere verbal claim.
So it's got to be shown in your actions by following them. So in the same way that we know to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of our iman, part of our faith, it's not enough just to shout from the rooftops that I love the Prophet, I love the Ahl al-Bayt, I love the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's more than just, as they would say in English, lip service. It means more that we have to really live our lives according to their teachings. And so it's a lot more than just simply saying it. You know, a lot of people claim to be lovers, but we need to prove that love by actually, you know, fulfilling their commands, as you said, respecting them and loving them, fulfilling their desires, and try to follow the teachings that were. And that's why we're here today. That's why we're discussing during this month of Muharram, the saviors of Islam, these personalities of Islam that were there. And we're not here just simply to give you the seerats. We're not here to simply give you some stories of their life. We're here to enable us to benefit from their lives, benefit from what has happened in their life, and try and implement some of their teachings into our life as well.
So that's one, you know, following their sunnah. The other is that, you know, love the sayyids that we have in front of us, to, you know, to not sit in more elevated places, to actually show respect. Today, the more important thing is following them, studying them, and that's why we're studying the life, so we know what they did, how they lived, what their attitudes were, and so we can emulate them. The other thing is the sayyids that we have, honor them, treasure them, respect them when they're around you, to, you know, consider it a blessing. And
by respecting the sayyids, you are respecting the Ahl al-Bayt, and by respecting the Ahl al-Bayt, you're ultimately respecting the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'd like to ask Ustaz Saab, really, regarding, you mentioned earlier on that we should follow them, that we should respect them, but can you give us some examples or some orders where we should, you know, who says that we should follow them? I mean, you mentioned the Quranic ayat, but it didn't actually mention it though that we should follow them. You know, where should we follow them, and how should we follow them? What are some of their qualities? If you can just elaborate on that, please.
Yeah, so we've got a hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Holy Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam clearly said himself, "Adibu awladakum ala thalathi khisal, hubbi nabiyyikum wa hubbi ahli baytihi wa qira'ati al-Quran."
Subhanallah.
So clear command: "Adibu awladakum," teach your children three adabs, teach them three things: "Hubbi nabiyyikum," hub is love, the love of your Prophet, or hubbi ahli baytihi, the love of his family, and qira'at al-Quran.
Subhanallah.
So that's a clear,
explicit order.
Explicit command. Adibu is what you call a siga al-amr, it's basically an order. Yeah. So teach your children that. So from an early age, you know, where, especially in this day and age, where our children are going crazy over movies and pop stars and celebrities, you know, our celebrities. I don't know if it's respectful to say that our ideals of the Ahl al-Bayt and the Sahaba Ikram. So here clearly the love of my family. And there's another hadith, a non-Muslim is a complete believer until he loves me more than he loves his own self, and until he loves my children more than he loves his own children.
Subhanallah.
Until he loves my ahl, my family, more than he loves his own family.
So that's like a criterion there for us.
For complete iman.
For complete iman.
For the perfection of iman. Loving. We've all heard that the hadith, none of you can be a true believer until you love me more than you love yourself. And obviously, you know, part of loving the Holy Prophet, you've already said this, that when you love the family of the Prophet, it's him you're loving, it's him you're respecting. And when we're loving the Holy Prophet, or doing zikr of him or respecting him, it's actually Allah Ta'ala you're loving, it's Allah Ta'ala you're remembering. And it's, you know, zikr Mustafa is zikr Ilahi.
With regards to the Ahl Bayt that we are really referring to today, what are some of the qualities of the Ahl Bayt that we need to try and aspire to and try and to follow in that way? Have you got any qualities on them, on the Ahl Bayt? I know there's millions, but have you got any ready for us?
So especially in the, in the month of Muharram Sharif, the Karbala, patience. You know, patience. I mean, as you said, there's dozens. But one specific one, I've got a call by Hazrat Imam Hussein here, specifically about patience, and it's very relevant because that epic and, you know, incredible example of patience that he displayed in this blessed month. And it's something like, it displays like how high, you know, what their level of patience. You know, you have levels of patience and levels of taqwa, don't you? And there's a minimum level that we all have to reach. But then you have this, you know, upper level and this elite level. But in fact, I'll read the hadith. He said, Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, companion of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked, give us and explain to us the philosophy of blessings and calamities. Blessings and calamities, you know, what is your opinion on them? And he responded, and even his response was like, you know, we're very upper class. He said, as far as I'm concerned, the pious people, for them, blessings and calamities are the same.
Allahu
They're
Akbar.
They're the same.
Allahu Akbar.
Blessings don't please them, and calamities don't make them panic. They don't depress them. So even that's a very high martaba.
Yes.
You know, like, you know, for us, on our level, it would be enough for us to, you know, exit. The minimum would be, you know, in calamities, don't disobey Allah, and don't let blessings make you negligent of Allah Ta'ala. But for them to say that their heart is in the same condition, you know, when they get a blessing, it doesn't make them arrogant, and when they are in a calamity, it doesn't make them forget Allah Ta'ala, their heart doesn't change. Even that's a very high martabah. But when Sayyidina Abu Zarr Ghifari said this, which is itself just an amazing, like, standard, Hazrat Imam Hussein heard of this answer. Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala heard of this answer, and he started up, he respected his answer, he didn't just, you know, shun it and, you know, debunk it. He said, may Allah Ta'ala have mercy on Sayyidina Abu Zarr, but as far as the Ahl Bayt are concerned, we prefer calamities over blessings.
Allahu Akbar.
For us, calamities are better than blessings. The reason is, when you get a blessing, there's some form of enjoyment for your own nafs inside it. There's some sort of personal pleasure inside it. So it's not all, you know, but when you get a musibat, it's totally 100% from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no enjoyment for the nafs. So ni'mat mein, you know, nafs ka bhi kuch hissa hota hai. There's some enjoyment for it. But in a musibat, it's totally the pleasure, the will, and you're submitting to the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submitting to destiny. It's all, ya Allah, tu razi hai, this is what you want. I'm not complaining.
It reminds me of an incident of Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi ta'ala, where he was a trader, and he's at the port, and he's talking to somebody, and his ship was due to land, and it had all the goods in it, and somebody came to him and said, Azur, your ship has sunk. Yeah? And it had all his goods in his ship. And he paused for a second, and after pausing for a second, he said, Alhamdulillah. Yeah? And then 10, 15 minutes later, somebody came back and said, Azur, that was, you know, wrong news. It was, you know, not true. Your ship is okay, and it's landed at the port, and all your goods are there. And again, he paused for a second. And after pausing for a second, he said, Alhamdulillah. And when he was asked, why is it when the ship had sunk, you said the same? And he said, I was asking my heart, that are you upset? Has your nafs taken a blow that you've lost all that money? Or are you happy with the will of Allah that has gone? And I realized that my heart hadn't wavered, it hadn't shook, hadn't got upset. So I was happy with that state. And then when I heard the news that I'd got all that wealth again, after losing it all, I've got it all back. Was I overexcited? Was I jumping up for joy? Again, I asked my heart, and my heart was stable. And again, that is something that we need to aspire to. Sorry, Ustaz Ab.
It's very high. You know, that having your heart stable in both of those situations, because we're humans, you know, when you have a blessing, you will be happy. You know, it's our nature. When you have a musibat, you will be sad. And being sad is not a sin. You know, crying is not a sin. The Holy Prophet, when Hazrat Ibrahim, his son, passed away, and, you know, tears, blessed tears, rolled down his sublime cheeks. And, you know, the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what even you, I thought you told us, we thought you told us not to mourn or not to, you know, panic on someone's passing away. But he said, no, this is a sign of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's human nature.
But I think the ultimate thing, the Ustaz Sahab, is to understand it is the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Whatever happens, you know, when somebody passes away, what do? You go to the Azza wa Jalla. It's the will of Allah. That's what we try and emphasize, that is, you know, what we should try and understand, that whatever happens to us, I know, yes, you get upset, yes, you get angry, yes, you shed a tear, but the ultimate goal is to understand that whatever befalls you is the will of Allah.
Everyone's looking for inspiration. They're looking for inspiration, and they're looking for a confidence boost, aren't they? Everyone's looking for inspiration, looking for jazba, looking for confidence. Motivation is what everyone's seeking for. And, you know, the life, and especially the month of Muharram, Imam Hussein, you know, his life, all the odds were against him. We think we've got it, but the odds, it was him and about 70 or 72 companions, male companions, family members. He wasn't prepared for war. There was thousands on the other hand. And it was, all the odds were against him. But perseverance, istiqamah, you know, if we're looking for inspiration and for motivation, these are, you know, this is our inspiration. That's why the youngsters, they're calling it, it's inspiration they want. When they're asking us for, please tell us how to istiqamah, please tell us how to rectify. So what they're really saying is, we need inspiration, we're down, we need something to give us a boost. And this is why mentioning the sacrifices and the dedication, the commitment of the Salihin, that's what people are looking for when they call.
So our viewers would really, to get that inspiration, they need to read the seerah of these personalities of Islam.
We could probably go on, and you could say more than me on this, but, you know, inspiration, like if someone wants to lose weight, they want to go to a gym, that requires inspiration. You know, you have that jazba for a week and then you go down. So to keep that jazba up, they'll, you know, if they work in the office, the gym will be a part-time thing. If they're working in the office, on their home screen, they'll have like a picture of some muscles or something, biceps. On our home, they'll have a picture of someone with big biceps or whatever. They'll have reminders. Reminders are very important for Islam. And that's why our murshid has given us that, you know, at least write maut on a piece of paper and hang it in your room, or even on your iPads and your phones. Anything which will inspire you, message, anywhere where you're going to look, even the word maut. Inspiration, reminders are very important. We forget.
The Madinah Nomad card is such a thing as well, isn't it? That it kind of like, it's a checklist to keep us inspired, to keep us on that path that we should be on, and to refrain from those things that we shouldn't be doing. And so it's a constant reminder to keep us there.
It's very easy to forget, isn't it? There's so many things to distract us. It's very easy to forget in this day and age. So just one reminder a week, one ijtima'a a week, or one text a week is not enough. We need like 10 reminders. It's something that's in front of our face all the time, and that's telling us about judgment day, about the akhirat, and what our ultimate purpose in life.
And I think that's why, you know, ultimately that's why a lot of people maybe say that, you know, you talk about these things a lot, but the reason why they are talked about is because we need them constant reminders. Some people, you know, I remember when we started our ishtima in one locality, and there was a person that used to come to our ishtima, and he stopped coming for a couple of weeks. So he was quite a senior person, elder person, and I went to him, found him, and said, "Uzul, you know, you used to come to the ishtima." He said, "Oh, no, he says, every time I come to your ishtima, I need a paracetamol." Why do you need a paracetamol when you come to... You talk about death and it scares me, and then my chest starts hurting and I get these pains and I've got to have these paracetamols to calm me down. The reason, like you say, it's there, it's a reminder to make us understand, yes, and the fact that, you know, what made me think was, Ustaz, there's probably a lot of people that hear it and don't get that pain. So if you think about it, that pain in itself is a blessing.
Definitely.
To get that fikr, to have that worry, you know, that you have that worry, is a blessing. And that's what I said to him. I said, you're the lucky one that you're having that pain. There's a lot of people who come, they listen about death, and they just go home and carry on doing what they're doing.
Soon, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, in the next month, we will be celebrating the urs of Ala Hazrat,
subhanallah,
Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And his life is full of love for Ahlul Bayt. There's many examples, many incidents which are available. But in this day and age, where this great personality, who's a beacon of light, a means of inspiration for, you could say, millions of Muslims around the globe. Mm. And his name is Mawlana Ilyas Qadri, who is known as Amir Ahl Sunnat. This great personality in this day and age, you know, sometimes if you have someone physical who lives in that same era, and you look at him, and if he does something positive, that really inspires you. And if you look at this particular quality of Amir Ahl Sunnat, Mawlana Ilyas Qadri, that may Allah preserve him and give him a longer healthy life, he, not just with practical actions, he has so much love for Ahlul Bayt, but also, you know, he gives that message to the rest of the people as well. For example, if he's in a gathering and he's distributing some food, some, for example, dates, and he's giving one piece of date to each and every person there, and when he finds out that this individual, this student of deen, or this individual is a Sayyid as well, and Amir al-Sunnat will double that amount for him. And this is because one is for normal share, one is especially for being a Sayyid.
They were in a hospital, not in Pakistan, some other international country. And there they had to give a sample of ghalib, and it was their blood or
urine.
They had to give that sample. And the person collecting it was a Sayyid.
Allah.
And when Amir al-Sunnat found this out, Amir al-Sunnat said, "You're not collecting the sample. This sample is not going in your hands." And he insisted. Amir al-Sunnat said, "No. What if I give you this sample, and on the day of judgment, the beautiful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam holds me accountable? That was my family for this purpose." So Amir al-Sunnat refused to give them this sample because of this, the love of the Ahlul Bayt. Allah.
Okay, if you want to increase that love for Ahlul Bayt, connect with these people. Study these people, spend time with them, be in their sohbat, inshallah. By just looking at them, you know, you'll get that extra boost, the extra motivation that we look out for from other channels, inshallah.
Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching the special Muharram transmission, The Saviors of Islam. Ustaz said we were talking about some of the qualities of the Ahlul Bayt, and you mentioned patience, and you mentioned that level of patience that they had. What about some other qualities that maybe we should try and aspire to? And because it's very easy for us, again, you know, because I think when you were talking about patience, that level that you were trying to make us aspire to, you yourself said that it's very hard for us to aspire to that level of patience. What about some other qualities that maybe, because a lot of people think, well, you know what, I can't get those thoughts up, sorry, you know, I haven't got that patience inside me. May Allah give me the tawfiq to have that patience. But what other thing could I try and achieve? And then I can make the claim that I do respect the Ahlul Bayt. What other things should I try and do so that I can then say that I respect them, I love them, I follow them? You told me it's part of my iman. You told me the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that we should teach our children. Okay, what do we teach our children? We just teach our children, love them, love them, love them. What should our children be doing? What should we be doing so that we can feel a little bit of peace in our heart that yes, we're on that path. We're going towards that status where we feel that we are starting to respect them, we are starting to love them, we are starting to follow them.
The basics, the seed of, if we start with namaz, you know, even starting with namaz, and like the hadith says, the recitation of the Holy Quran, you know, their lives were all about namaz, they were all about charity, and as we've said repeatedly, the level of patience that they've defined and they were out is probably beyond our, you know, reach, but at least for the sake of, you know, it can still inspire us to reach that minimum level of ours.
I think one thing that you touched upon very quickly, but I took it as a huge point really, was that you mentioned at the beginning that the namaz and the Quran, that, you know, these are the direct commands of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are what the Ahlul Bayt did. They never missed the salah. They, you know, read the Quran on a regular basis.
According to the riwayat, even on the neza, on the spear, their head Mubarak was reciting the ayats of the Quran. That even in this situation, the love of the Quran is so much that they are reciting the Quran. And as you said, where we stand today, everything is there, food, what we want. And even with the Ahlul Bayt, it is in Amir al-Sunnat's book. There are riwayats like this, that the patience, the way Allama Sahab was talking about, is that it was so much that sometimes there would not be fire in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a month.
Allah
sometimes you would not see it for many, many days. But Allah, they still practice patience. And as you said, if we even get a bit of this, we might head somewhere. If we just, even the first namaz, people are missing, tilawat of the Quran, and patience is beyond us. The lack of patience, due to lack of patience, families are getting broken down, other masail, problems after problems. There are many, many lessons we can take from this, but we just listen from one ear, it goes out of the other ear. Jazakallah, thank you.
I think the message that I'm getting from both of you is really a task for everybody here that's watching, is that we need to ultimately follow the basic commands of Islam, which again, you know, these things of taqwa, these things of patience, these things of them sort of are a status that we should aspire to. But I think, you know, we need to step back and realize that we're failing to even follow the basic things. And so how can we claim to love the Prophet, love the Ahlul Bayt, love these great personalities, and yet we do not follow the fundamentals of Islam? It's like the example where I think somebody gave me that, you know, someone, you know, goes out on the street and tells everybody that he loves his mum. You know, I love my mum, I love my mum, I love my mum. And mum says, can you go to the shop for me? And he says, no, I'm busy. You know, mum, can you tidy up the room? Better, can you say, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. And someone who sees that will ultimately say, well, that's not love, is it? Your mum's asking you to do things, you never do them, you just keep on telling people you love people. And I think sometimes that maybe is our state, that we keep on saying we love, we claim to be Ashiq Rasul, we claim to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but what is the criterion that proves it? Or is it just here?
No, these 10 days of Muharram al-Haram, these 10 days of transmission, do these not give us that reminder, that moment that where we can reflect?
Well, they should do, but do they?
Well, just for a moment.
I can see it in your eyes that, you know, I can see in your eyes that you're reflecting, you're contemplating, you are feeling it. But is everybody having that feeling? And if everybody had that feeling, then there is no really a need to be here. And unfortunately, that is the sad truth, that they don't have that feeling. They don't have, when we talk about the events on Karbala, and we talk about the sacrifices that were made, and we talk about the patience that they took part in and all that, and, you know, it brings these emotions and it brings them tears to our eyes. But if it was everywhere, then we wouldn't be where we are today.
You know, if you ask ourselves this question today, you know, how much do I love the Ahl Bayt? How physically, mentally, you know, what am I doing that shows that I actually love the Ahl Bayt? I love the family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the blessed wives, and the Sahaba Ikram. You know, what have I done practically? What can I say that I've done this to say that yes, I do love? The reality is, you know, most of us, we don't even know who these people are.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. I was just going to say that.
We don't even know. Do straight away is that, you know, we've all got sayyids in our areas. Like, I mean, we're not allowed to give sayyid zakat, but, you know, we need to inquire, keep in touch with sayyids, you know, more than we keep in touch with our own families if possible. And even though we're not allowed to give them zakat, nafli sadaqat, you're allowed to. And you don't have to say this is sadaqah, you can just say it's a gift. They don't even need to know it's coming from you. Yeah. Help them. You know, make sure we're not, you know, the Sufiya say even this might be something of a high caliber, but we shouldn't be sleeping or living in bad conditions. And if you know, keep inquiring about, that's something we can do, start doing straight away, immediately, you know, phone a Sayyid straight away, you know, many of us might have a Sayyid living next door, you know, just put in a tiko, you know, everything alright, any problems, I'm here, Khadim Hazir, you know, say things like that, make a big difference. Salat and sabr are mentioned together in the Quran Sharif. You know what you do? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. You seek help with patience and namaz. And so that Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, he was an embodiment of that verse, you know, that day, in namaz and patience and sabr. They were mountains of patience, and they were, you know.
Mashallah. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching this special Muharram transmission, The Saviors of Islam. We're coming towards the end of the program now, only a few moments left, and today we've been talking about the Ahl Bayt, and as we know, the Ahl Bayt are the direct family of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Ustaz mentioned that the Ahl Bayt is not just the wives and the immediate family and the grandchildren, but all those from the bloodline of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam right up to the Day of Judgment. And I think, Ustaz, you mentioned the qualities of the Ahl Bayt and the respect that we should have for the Sayyids. What about some of the qualities that, you know, we mentioned the Salah, and we mentioned some of the things, but surely we should, you know, because what concerned me was something that Tawfiq Bhai said, was really that I think many of us out there don't even know who they are. You know, if you were to ask the viewers here to name all of the wives of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and let's say, you know, from 100% viewership, what would be the percentage of those people that send a message in and say and get the answers? They might be able to get one or two or maybe three, but who could name all of the wives of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many of them could probably even name, and you've even mentioned it, how many of them could even mention, name the grandsons of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many of them could mention the daughters of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many of them could mention these basic things? And I think that maybe is where we are failing, that you mentioned earlier on, Ustaz, that we know about so-called personalities that we aspire to, that we look up to. But unfortunately, as Muslims, you know, these are the personalities that we need to aspire to and look up to, that yet we don't even know who they are.
So the lesson is really for the parents, isn't it? You know, those bedtime stories that, you know, today, I mean, there was just a week or two ago, I think one of the main headlines in this country was that I think almost a quarter of 14-year-old girls in this country are self-harming themselves. 14-year-old girls. Bullying, and, you know, the parents are split up, single-parent families, they're harming themselves. Girls are really, even boys are self-harming, but girls are more. One of the things girls are specifically worried about is their image, you know, because of what they're seeing on the TV all the time. And
but again, it's because that's, because like you say, you're right, that these celebrities, who they're trying to aspire to.
Yeah.
They're trying to follow them people.
It's got to start from like the age of 4, 5, 6.
But then you mentioned earlier on that, you know, teach your children these three things.
Yeah, yeah.
So the onus is then on the parents.
Definitely.
You can only teach if you know.
Definitely.
You can't
even just books. Read books. There's plenty of books out there. Read stories. I mean, even like fairy tales. We don't know much about how do we buy.
The love of the Ahlibayt, it spiritually elevates you as well. The love for the Sadat Ikram. You know, the famous, I'm not going to go into detail, as you said, with time, the famous waqia of Hazrat Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi alayhi. How they were a pahlwan, a wrestler. From there, how they gained the status of wilayat, and how the whole waqia. And if you go into detail, honestly, when I first read that waqia, I was, as you could say, you're blown away. Subhanallah, this is the adab, and this is what it does to you. How they were a pahlwan for a king, and one weak person, body-wise, very skinny person, said, look, I challenge you to a wrestling match. And they, you know, people laughed at the skinny person, look at you, you know. But when the day happened, he kept on insisting on the wrestling match day. He came and whispered in Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah, I am a Sayyid. I have nothing to eat. My family is in the forests. And if you lose today, I promise you, I will get your shafa'a done from my nanaijan.
Allahu
and he Allah. Said that when you lose to me, then people will give me something which I will give to my family. I cannot, being this blood, hang my hand out for them to give me something. And Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, all their reputation, all their name, all their fame, they gave it away for the love of the Ahl-e Bayt. And when this happened, the scholars and different narrations and different stories are told on this, that very night, many awliya came to the door of Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah, and said that you have been accepted, and then this is going to be your rank, and it just grew on from there. So it spiritually elevates you. This is one thing, if somebody says, what's the point of loving, or what would I get? You will get spiritually elevated as well. Inshallah, doors will open up for you.
Shafa'at of the Holy Prophet, there's a riwayat that says, if you do a favor for any Sayyid, Aqa alayhi salam will pay you back. When you do a favor for a child, it's the father that gets happy, it's the father that pays you back. And the ulama say, the riwayat say, anyone who wants my wasila and intercession, the Holy Prophet said, on the day of judgment, he should serve my Ahl-e Bayt. And if you do him a favor, you know, and the paying back of the Holy Prophet is, even if a Sayyid is not practicing, you know, that's between him and Allah Ta'ala, we have to respect the Sayyid, you know. And Sadat Ikram, we have to give as much respect to them as possible. A Sayyid or an Alim, like, you're supposed to respect ulama as much as possible. Alim and a Sayyid are not allowed to belittle other people. For them, takabbur and arrogance is haram, just like it is for any other person. So a Sayyid himself shouldn't think, you know, you're nobodies, but we should give them izzat. And the same with ulama as well. But for ulama and Sayyids to look down and belittle you and demean other people is haram, arrogance is a sin. But we should give them that respect.
Sayyidi Allah Hazrat even say one of the booklet say that Sayyidi Allah Hazrat say, I could smell the khushbu
Allah
of the Sayyid. So this is the level of Ishq Rasulullah.
Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching this special Muharram transmission, The Saviors of Islam. Time is against us today. We've been learning about the Ahl-e Bayt and the fact that we
it's part of our iman to love them and respect them. And I think what Ustaz Saab mentioned, something that really affected me more than anything else, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, has commanded us, that we should teach our children to love the Prophet, we should teach our children to love the Ahlul Bayt, and we should teach our children to read the Quran. And I think that is something, is a message for all of us out there, that the responsibility is on all of the parents out there to acquire that knowledge, that you can teach your children the love and teach the children the respect of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Ahlul Bayt, and to read the Quran. You've been watching Madani Channel. Keep watching Madani Channel. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Saviors of Islam. Saviors of Islam. Saviors of Islam.